take care of. Hirsch fought and was able to obtain government permission to be a separate kahila. A separate kahila meant that you had your own taxes, you had your own budget, you had your own rights, you controlled everything. And he called that an Austrit Gemeinde, a kahila, a group, Austrit, that stepped out of the kahila. They were the dissidents. And throughout Germany, there was this strong debate and difference of opinion and disagreement between Orthodox Jews, whether or not their small minority, sometimes very small kahila, should be independent and try and go it alone, as did Hirsch's kahila in Frankfurt am Main, or whether they should remain as part of the general overall structure of the kahilas. So great rabbonim like Rabbi Bamberger and others stayed within the kahila. But the hallmark of Hirsch's kahila was that he stepped out. And to a certain extent, we still see vestiges of that dispute today. Here in American Jewry, in Israel, etc. What is our organizational relationship, if any, to non-Orthodox, non-traditional forces in Jewish life? Shall we work with them under one umbrella? Or shall we walk away and have our own and really let them fend for themselves, spiritually at least, while we have to fend for ourselves physically? By the way, Hirsch himself was from Hungary. He was the Rav in Moravia before he came to Frankfurt. When he came to Frankfurt, he was hired by a very small kahila, 11 families, but he built it into a great and strong organization, the bulwark of German Jewry. He also opened what today we would call a day school, which was a new innovation for its time. It was called the Realschule. And in the Realschule, Limudei Kodesh, the studies of Torah, existed for half a day, and the other half of the day were secular studies that were taught in German. In fact, in the Realschule, when they taught the secular studies, so the young men would take off their hats, you know, because that was the way they did it in Germany. On the other hand, among the Balabatim in Hirsch's congregation, many men grew beards purposely so that during the Sfira in the 3 weeks, they would be able to exist without shaving. Many men wore toupees or other false headpieces so that their heads would never be uncovered. And the loyalty to the nth degree to Torah and to the meticulous observance of mitzvahs became famous. And in our time, the Hirschian kahila was transplanted just before the Second World War here in New York in Washington Heights, where it has undergone a number of metamorphoses. But Hirsch's direct descendant, the late Rabbi Breuer, is an example again of that type of philosophy and that type of Weltanschauung. He was an expert in Schiller and in Goethe, and he would study Yerushalmi every day. I saw him yet in his 90s when he was almost sightless, and he would have somebody read the Gemara to Yerushalmi for him, and he'd sit there puffing on his cigar, and it was the perfect example of a person of iron will that was able to hold his community within the realms of orthodoxy at a time when it would have been very, very easy to fall away completely. All right, for the few moments that are left, I